And I want to try to preach for a few moments tonight, if God will be our helper, from verse number 3, where he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Now, I have two thoughts I'd like to deal with tonight, if the Lord will help me. The first thought is sanctification, and the last thought is separation in the will of God. And there's a difference between the two, and I want to try to preach with the help of the Lord if I can on those two subjects. And I don't think I'm going to get there, amen, but I do want to try if I can to start with the subject of sanctification. And I need everybody in this building tonight, amen, to give me your undivided attention and realize the seriousness and the severity of the will of God for your life in sanctification. Now let me do this. Let me give you the definition, if I can, that the Lord gave me, amen, that would maybe give us a distinction between separation and sanctification, if I can get them both together, amen. Sanctification means that I am set apart to serve God with a purpose. You ought to write that down. Sanctification means that I am set apart to serve God with a purpose. That's what sanctification involves. Separation means this. Sanctification means I'm set apart to serve God with a purpose. Separation means that I stay away to serve God in purity. Now, I want you to think about that. Sanctification means that I am set apart to serve God with a purpose. And then we probably are not going to make it that far, but we'll try to when I get back with the help of the Lord. But in verse number 5, separation means I stay away. Stay away to serve God in purity. How important is that to you? It may not be important at all to you, but I hope that it's important to somebody tonight. The will of God in sanctification. So let's focus on that thought for just a moment tonight. The will of God in sanctification. Understanding that I am set apart for a purpose. God has a divine will specifically for your life. God has something that you can do for his glory. Amen. God has something that he wants fulfilled in this world and among the creation that he has put in this earth, amen, for your life. And your life may seem like a very insignificant spot on the globe right now in your own mind, but God, amen, is mindful of what he wants your life to amount to in this world. God has a purpose for you, but that purpose is going to revolve around whether or not you accept the reality of the will of God in sanctification. Understanding that, hey, it's not about just do's and don'ts. It's not about just abstaining and separating. It's not just all about, I'm not going here and I'm not hanging around with this crowd and I'm not participating in this activity. But sanctification is understanding that a sovereign God in heaven has saved you and set you apart to make you a peculiar generation, to make you different in this world and to make a difference in this world through the difference that he made in you. Somebody ought to use that and write a song. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, God made a difference in you so that he might make a difference in this world. Amen. Amen. Sanctification, first of all, is a very personal matter. As we look in verse 3, he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Amen. Your sanctification. God has set you apart. I'm not talking to the church tonight. I'm talking to you. Amen. God, amen, has pointed it out in your life. You need to understand that God saved you and he's made you a peculiar individual in his grace. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a divine nature that is within your heart. Amen. I preached about it and preached about it, and I'm going to continue to preach about it till it breaks in on some of you that if you don't have within you the spirit of holiness and the Holy Ghost inside of your soul and a divine nature, then you've never met the Savior that I met. Amen. And if you're saved by the grace of God tonight, the will of God is for you to be personally sanctified. That means it is the will of God for you to take serious personal matters in the realm of sanctification. You have been set apart for a purpose. That means you look different. That means you dress different. That means you talk different. Now you can confuse this with separation, but we're not talking about separation. We're not talking about what you're not doing right now. We're talking about what you're doing. We're not talking about separation. You get the two confused, apparently. We're not talking about separation. We're talking about personal sanctification. We're talking about who you are, not what you are not. Amen. And it seems as if we have a problem making the proper distinction. Right. Amen. I'm not. We get all confused and get all on the negative side of things when the preacher starts saying that you should not do this, but you should be this way. So I'm going to flip that thing around, amen. And I'm not going to preach tonight, amen, that you should not have long hair because it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching, amen, that you should have short hair and look like a man. Amen. That's sanctification. Amen. That's you understanding that you represent Christ in this world, that you are a testimony of the Lord God of heaven, and through that, personally, you have a testimony to maintain, and you have a character that you are going to display in this world, and personally, sanctification is the will of God for you when you understand that God has set you apart, amen, and made you a part of his family, and he has put you in this world to be different. Now that doesn't mean you got to be weird. Some people mistake Christianity with being a fanatic and being weird. Now I've met a lot of people that's weird that claim they're saved. And I don't think they're saved. I just think they're crazy and weird. It's because a man carries a King James Bible around under his arm don't make him a saved man. Amen. Amen. I'm to be peculiar in that I am set apart. Personally, I'm saved. Amen. And this thing of sanctification in the will of God is a personal thing. Amen. Personal issues with you on how you dress, how you carry yourself. I mean, we went to the bank the other day, and I ain't picking on Travis. I mean, everybody I know, Miss Edna at the bank didn't say much about it, you know. But I told him, I said, if your mama seen you come in this bank, boy, without shaving the way you did this morning, she'd thrash your hide. Coming in the bank to borrow more money than he'll ever live long enough probably to pay back. Amen. And went in there, hadn't shaved that morning. Of course, he's working. That was his excuse. You listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? I could tell you something I told the class the other day. In the chapel service, you can look it up online if you want to. You can read about any kind of professional realm you want to read in for dressing for success, and they'll automatically tell you that if you're going to have a beard, make sure that it's very neatly trimmed and kept orderly. But a man that goes into work that won't shave, it looks scraggly in that man is automatically identified by corporate people that he is careless and does not care and does not maintain himself properly. And that ain't got a thing to do with this message tonight, except just tell you, amen, you have a responsibility personally as to who you're representing in this world, the Lord Jesus. That means you ladies and gentlemen need to realize that when you handle yourself, you should handle yourself in such a manner outwardly that you represent Christ. Amen? Amen. It is a personal matter. That's why our ladies wear dresses, and they're to wear modest dresses. Amen. Amen. That's why our ladies that sing in this choir, they wear modest dresses. And I don't sit here on the front pew and watch every young lady that walks up into the choir, and I don't have a transit set out in the back to figure out whether their dress is short, long, or too low, or too high. But I'm telling you what, some of you older ladies should. Some of you older ladies, amen, should look at the younger ladies. Is anybody listening? Amen. I'll tell you what some of you husbands need to do. Some of you husbands need to look at your wife's clothing. Amen. And understand that sanctification is a manifestation of a personal thing. Understanding that I am set apart for the purpose of God. And in that setting apart for the purpose of God, are you listening to me? I have a responsibility, amen, to, in the image of the Lord Jesus, be an influence in this world. Amen. I'm going to tell you ladies something. I love you and I care about you and I want to see you serve the Lord. But I want you to understand how important this is. If you have constantly got to do this, these women in this church, they do that all day long. I could take the tie. I don't even wear tying up shoes because it wastes so much time. I went out and bought me 2 pair of boots just to wear it to the school, amen, because it had for low heels. I don't even like tying shoes. Amen. If I took the seconds that you spent, amen, doing that right there, I could probably build a new house in the lifetime you waste doing that. Amen. You'd be amazed. We never have put a curtain up on that piano. You know why? Because I don't want nobody playing that piano that wouldn't sit on that bench and be very modest. Amen. That's why somebody asked me. I had a preacher one time say, man, you need to do something about that piano. I said, for what reason? Well, man, you can look and see right straight up in under that thing. I said, I know exactly that you can look and see right straight up. In fact, I like the way it looks. That's why I left it that way. That's why somebody spent all that time designing them legs and putting all them brass things on there so they could be seen. If they thought you was going to put a curtain, they'd have put one leg out there and they'd have just put a fence post on that other side. What are you laughing about? Need to be modest. Do you realize, listen to me now, I'm speaking from experience. Do you realize how many times you young mothers bend over and pick up your child? And how dangerous it is to pick them up with one hand? While you're holding your dress with the other? Or whatever it is you wear, blouse, whatever, I don't know, blouse, dress, skirts, I don't know nothing, the difference between none of them, except I know what is seductive and sensual. Yes. Amen. 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 I was at Brother Auburn's yesterday, somebody bent over to pick up a child. I mean, I might need to cut a flip off a bale of hay, and about 3 or 4 beside of me, I thought, amen, I was going to pass out. There's something wrong with that. I'm talking about separation and sanctification, but I'm trying to get you to understand that when that is the case and that is the situation, that is a problem. If I was standing right here like this, preaching to you the way I'm preaching to you, and if you were to come up here and stand right beside of me, and they could see the lint in your belly button, there's something bad wrong. And I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm trying to preach to you the Word of God. Amen. Do you understand that? And if you think for a minute that does not affect men and other men, if you husbands do not think that when your wife wears clothing that accents and accentuates the parts of their body, and you, amen, don't have enough sense to realize that there are other men and other young men that are looking, that are drawn to that, then there's something wrong with you. I'm not talking about looking like Granny Clampett, amen, or somebody that just come off of the wagon train. I'm talking about being modest and godly and understanding that sanctification is a personal matter. It's something that you are going to have to personally deal with about you. Amen. Some people could wear things that would be modest that other people can wear that would not be modest. Do I have to go any further than that? Amen. And so what I'm preaching tonight, I think, is very important. Amen. We've got a school. I told we've got two ladies that's going to come in and help in the school. And I told my wife, I said, you need to sit down with the staff, sit down with Miss Rebecca, sit down with Miss Joanna, and you need to explain to them what's expected. They know the uniform code when they were here at school, but they need to understand there's teenage boys here, and these are young married ladies, but these teenage boys are 17 and 18 years old, amen, they got eyeballs and a flesh. You say, well, they're all a bunch of perverts. Well, let's flip that around. You could have a harlot's forehead. Well, they ought not be looking. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I played basketball, he'd say, you elbowed me. You know what I'd tell him? I said, I have the right to have elbows on the basketball court. Amen, I do. And just because I grab a ball and turn around and you happen to be there where my elbow was and it hit you upside the head, I can't help that. I have the right to have an elbow on both of my arms. I have the physical right, amen, to have an elbow. And I mean, I got a right to be there. And I got eyeballs. Amen. And I'm sitting somewhere and some lady bends over and I mean, it's done too late. So whose fault is that? What am I supposed to do? Have some kind of automatic spiritual sensor in my brain that shuts my eyes off every time something like that, Brother Hill, happens? That ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell you, the world, the billboards and the papers you get from Walmart and Kmart and Sears and JCPenney and everything else is geared for one thing, and that is to the flesh. And you need to understand that sanctification is a personal matter. You're going to have to sit down and realize that there's things you are going to have to do and implement in your life if you are going to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know some folks are real fashionable and they like to, amen, look nice, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But I'm going to tell you, when fashion goes to sensuality and seduction, we've got issues. So to make it plain, and I may be out of my place tonight, but if I ain't got any elderly ladies that'll preach it or teach it or try to help some younger ladies, I'm just going to tell you, hey man, they way too much flesh from the neck down showing around here. And my daughter's one of them. And I done told her and her mama, I say, go up there and change that, and I'm about sick, amen, of looking at neck. That far down. I said something the other day about earrings and big gaudy necklaces, amen. And I'm preaching to her right now, and the rest of you can just, amen, jump on board or get off board, jump off ship, amen, hit the road. Jack, don't come back. Whatever you want to do, it don't make any difference. But I'm telling you, it ends up being a bunch of flesh. Amen. Amen. And he ought to shave before he went to the bank the other day. In fact, the matter is, he ought to have a suit of clothes on. I don't care if he is a carpenter or a tie or at least something nice on. Amen. And you shouldn't have to wear 1,700 garments over the top of what you got on top just to try to cover up, amen, what you bought to wear.
I don't know what the point is. He said, well, preacher, you just can't buy stuff. Then we need to have a sowing class and not a Discord sowing class. Amen. We already got that down pretty good. And start making whatever is, amen, that would look godly and holy. Well, my point is, my sub point is, number one sub point is, under sanctification, which is the second point of a three-point message, amen, of many points of the same title of being aware of the will of God is sanctification in the will of God's personal. Amen. I mean, I've got grace and a gift, responsibility, relationship, and all those, and all them's got points and subpoints, and I'm on one of them main points right now, which is the subject, amen, of sanctification. I just dealt with service, and there's a lot of points here, but I'm hoping you're getting a point. He said here, and I'm using this phrase to substantiate what I'm preaching to you, and I think it's good enough, even your. That's what I'm talking about. Just even your sanctification. That's line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. That's what we people in Bible doctrines, when we're studying bibliology, that's what we call verbal inspiration. Word for word. Ain't that what we believe? That's what we call it. Expresses character and godliness, and it you know, I've been taking my ring off that when my dad died, my mama gave it to me. I've been taking my ring off because I took it off because I didn't want it to be distracting. I bought me them cowboy boots here the other week, and I was wanting something with low heels on, had them white strings around them black ones, and everybody thought they was sharp, and I really liked them too. But I tell you what, I walked down the platform, and I caught people looking at them because they had them white strings around them, so I went home and dyed them. Don't want to be distracted. I don't want anything to take anybody's mind as much as possible. I do not want to be in any way a means of bad influence when it comes to the gospel as best I can. It's personal. Some of you need to change the way you dress. You need to adjust the way you look. You need to alter the clothing and the way it fits you. Boys and girls. I've seen two fellas around here the last week, amen, that look like their wives, amen, their wives got their shirts mixed up. Now, if you want to show us how big your muscles are, just pull your shirt off. We'll look at them. If you're that impressed with them, we'll look at them, and then you can put it back on. If you want to show them to us, just show them to us, be done with it. And we'll say, man, that's something. Or we'll say, amen. Amen. We'll go down there at Willie's Chicken House and probably see the same kind of chest. My point tonight is sanctification is a personal matter. And you're going to have to understand that you girls are going to have to get them dresses down past them knees, or you're going to get in trouble. You're going to have to make sure that the sleeves are right, or we're going to have problems. Say, well, preacher, y'all are a bunch of perverts. No, we're not. We're trying, amen, to preach godliness. And we're trying to promote it. Some of you, amen, and it don't make any difference. It don't make any difference where you go or what you say. There's this stuff right here's got to be constantly dealt with. I preached this same stuff, amen, 20 years ago, and ain't nothing changed. Some of you moms and dads need to understand that you have boys and girls that come to levels of maturity, and when they start doing so, you dads need to look at your girls, you ladies need to look at your sons, and you need to start adjusting the way they handle themselves, the way they carry themselves, the things they say, the way they act. Is anybody teaching that? Amen. Sanctification is personal. That's sub-point one of point two. And I got five sub-points to point two. Number two, it's possible.
Amen.
Here's what I believe, and here's what I preach. I believe that every woman ought to wear a modest dress. We try to distinguish between the sexes. So our men don't wear dresses. Amen? And so that's the way we deal with it. And I preach it. It makes no difference. My family's here, whoever's here. That's what we preach. That's what we practice in this church. Amen? Let me say, preacher, you say, that's impossible. That's what some of you young families would say. That is impossible. He said in verse 4, that every one of you should what? Know how. Knowing how. Know how. That's what it takes. All it takes is a little know how. You know how to do everything else. It don't take you long to learn how to play ball. Don't take you long to learn some new board game. I don't understand how come it takes so long to learn how to do this. When we understand how important and significant it is as we represent the Lord Jesus in this world, it is the will of God for you ladies and you gentlemen and you families to be sanctified. Say, preacher, you're preaching to me. You're exactly right. Amen. I'm not preaching nowhere else but right here. Now, tomorrow night, I'll be preaching in North Carolina, but right now, I'm preaching to you.
Amen.
It's possible. Say, preacher, I don't believe it is possible. Not in this day of influence. Well, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there's where some of your problems are. You don't know nothing about a spiritual walk with God.
Amen.
You don't know anything about life, a spiritual life in Jesus. And you are not concerned as to whether or not you are going to glorify God in the way you look.
Amen.
And the way you dress. It ain't always glory around here, by the way. Amen. It's possible for you to be godly. And I'm not talking about dressing like an Amish or a Mennonite or whatever. I'm talking about just dressing godly. You can dress godly and cover your nakedness and not have anything in question if you are spirit-filled and desire to please God. Say, well, preacher, I know somebody and they love the Lord and man, they're a witness and they're a testimony and man, they believe the Bible and they read the Bible and I don't care who it is, what they do or how they look or how they act. I'm telling you, it is the will of God for you to be godly. And godliness is not in any way, shape, or form revealing your flesh in any manner, young lady. Not in any way, shape, or form. Amen. It is possible for you to be godly. It is a personal matter, and you need to take it. There's a time when your mom and dad need to be a director and your pastor and their teacher, but there comes a day in your life, if you're saved by the grace of God, boys, you should say, I do not want to comb my hair that way. I do not want to wear my clothes that way. I do not want to carry myself in that manner because that way of carrying yourself, that way of acting, those body gestures that you are making, amen, are of the world. The things you're saying, the communication that's coming out of your mouth is of a worldly nature. Where did you get that at? Where did you hear that from? Where did that kind of language come from? I'm not talking about cussing. I'm not talking about profanity. I'm talking about worldly language. My daughter's in meeting a while ago, and she said, okay, you guys. She said that two or three times. I said, what's up with that? She's been hanging around Brother David so long or whatever. Hey, man, you guys, that's up north. We're not from up north. We're from down deep south. Where'd that you guys come from? She didn't ever hear that at my house. I'm not being mean. I'm not saying that's wicked. I don't think I'm saying that. But it is some things I don't want to, you know, me and Brother Norris the same way, I guess. And we're from the South. When somebody comes at me and they say, you want a pop? I say, absolutely not. I don't want no pop. I don't want nobody popping me unless you expect me to pop you back. I want a Coke. Coke. My daddy called it, I want a Coca-Cola. That's what he called it. Give me a Coca-Cola. Now, that didn't mean Coke. That could mean Pepsi or RC. Coca-Cola covered the whole thing. Amen. You need to watch what you pick up. All this dog business and all this kind of stuff. I tell you what, you study where some of that stuff comes from, buddy, and it's perverted and ungodly and wicked. Some of the things you say, buddy, if you look and figure it out, you can talk and communicate with people in a proper and in an upright manner without that kind of foolishness. It's ungodly. It's wicked. I don't want to hear it. It shouldn't be named among the saints of God at all. It is possible, amen. It's personal, it's possible. There's a possession involved in this sanctification that's in the will of God. And you see it in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possession. Do you have any kind of hold on you? You know why parents are so scared to let their children out of their sight? It's because they're afraid they don't have a hold on themselves.
Amen.
You know why some of you are scared to be put in a situation outside of adult supervision? I've talked to young men in this church that said, I'm afraid if I'm by myself that I'll mess up. You know what they're saying? They don't have a hold on themselves. They do not know anything. They know a little bit about separation, but they know nothing about the importance of being set apart as a vessel, usable in the hand of God, sanctified, meet for the master's use. Is anybody listening to me? You can leave anytime you get ready, won't offend me a bit. It wouldn't make me mad at all. Just don't come back. Now, I'd get upset if you come back. But if you need to leave, amen, because you don't like it and this is closer than you want it, then it won't bother me to leave. I'll call you and love you, amen, eat breakfast with you tomorrow if you'll buy it.
Amen.
But just head out and don't come back because this is where we're at.
Amen.
I'm talking about possessing your vessel in sanctification, having a hold of who you are.
Amen.
There's a perspective in that verse. He said, possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Just exactly, Miss Bethany, what do you think of you?
Yes, that's good.
How much respect, Josh, do you have for yourself? John, how much reverence and respect do you have for yourself? You know, there's a lot said, Miss Rachel, about self-respect and about self-confidence. And that's where that's talking about in the Word of God. Possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor. Realizing, let me tell you what self-confidence is. Self-respect. I have no self-confidence. You know what builds self-confidence? It's when you realize that you're saved by the grace of God and God has set you apart for a purpose to serve Him in the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? And in that setting apart, amen, you realize that you have a great responsibility to possess who you are and get a hold of your world and get a hold of your life and realize that there is an honor, amen, to maintain. That you are to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor and have respect. It's amazing to me the people that have no respect for themselves. There is people that have no self-respect at all. You say, well, that's pride, preacher. No, it ain't when it's on a spiritual manner. It's having respect for the vessel that God has chosen to inhabit.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
Self-respect is realizing, amen, who you represent in this world.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
And how important it is to maintain the right testimony. Do you have any self-respect? When I wasn't right with God, I had a filthy mouth. I had more troubles than you could shake a stick at. And I didn't have no respect for me or anybody else around me. But when I got right with God, I realized that I represent someone. And there were some things changed when I got saved. When I got right with God, there were some things that was turned around. And I'd heard about every kind of word you could think of. And I'm not talking about my home, amen. Not my mom, not for my mom and dad, but for my aunts and uncles. I've heard men that were members of Pleasant View Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina, when I was a boy. I've heard them say things, amen, that would make the worst sailor in the world blush. Oh, yes, I have. Seen them roll them down. They rolled them down there, preached them into heaven, and Brother Raines buried them out in the cemetery, amen, said how faithful they were to church and everything else. But as a young boy being around them, I've heard them cuss like sailors. You understand what I'm saying, do you? They had no respect for who they were. No respect for the church they was a part of. No respect for the man of God that had given them a piece of his life. No respect for the things of God. I'm talking about sanctification, understanding that you are set apart for the purpose of service. I'm going to ask you something. If you were to go to the job site where you're at right now, you young boys has been working now since you've been out of school, Randy, some of you boys, Josh, if you were to go in there and the people you work around and you said, look, I want to tell you about the Lord. I want to tell you about Jesus. What would you have to overcome to be an effective witness? From what's come out of your mouth and what they know about your personal life. What kind of witness could you be? What would the people around you have to overcome about you? Now you need to understand that's a lot of crow for people to eat. Most people can't swallow it. But way beyond the crow you're going to have to chew up and swallow is the reproach you've brought on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because you don't know how to possess your vessel. Amen. Your perspective. Have some self-respect. Have some respect of who you are and what you represent and who you represent. Sanctification is never going to mean anything to you until you wake up in the morning and say, today I step out into the world. And the only thing that they're going to know about the fact that God is alive, the only thing they're going to know about the fact that God is alive is me. Do you understand that? The only way they're going to know anything about Jesus is through you. That's set apart. Let me give you this about separation and I'll be done. I'll just give you the verses and the outline. Sanctification means that I set apart to serve with a purpose. Separation means I stay away from things to serve in purity. Here's what he says. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now basically that phrase in that verse means and indicates to us that the Gentiles live their life completely out of control. They fornicate, they drink, they commit adultery, they don't care. They are wicked, they are ungodly, they swap wives. If you read the context of this and look at the history behind it, he's talking about the sensual sins of a Gentile world who give constantly in to inordinate affection. They are out of control. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, the Bible says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." I read that to you the other day. Are you cleansing yourself from the filthiness of the flesh? Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. I'll read these verses. Say four things and be done. Don't get upset. It's a whole lot easier just to get right. Be a whole lot better off on you. A whole lot better off on me. A whole lot better off on the church. And far better off for Jesus. If you'll just line up and get right. 1 Corinthians 6:13 is this: meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now I've quoted that for years. Now I want you to listen to me. Are you listening to me? The best Christian young man and young lady in this building tonight has appetites.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The best.
Amen.
The best young man and young lady in this church. Let me just take this a step further. The best young man and the oldest young man and the best young lady and the oldest old woman in this building has appetites. And from that point to that point and all points in between, they deal with allurements. I'm talking about separation now. You're going to have to understand that if you're going to be a separated Christian that understands the principles of biblical sanctification, that you have appetites. And as you grow older, those appetites get stronger. Those desires get stronger. And the devil, you need to open your eyes and listen to me for a minute. And the devil and the world knows those appetites get stronger as you get older and as you mature. And so through that, the only way that he can get back at God is to take those appetites that God has put in you to be fulfilled in a biblical and godly manner and allure you and entice you and ensnare you and tempt you to fulfill them in an illegitimate manner that will then in turn destroy your testimony and bring the judgment of God on you.
Amen.
That's how simple that is. It is the devil's desire to destroy your testimony and to mark your life and to keep you from being an effective witness and a vessel unto honor meet for the master's use. So you got appetites. You got allurements to deal with. Say, preacher, I don't know if this is fair or not. Well, you better go back to point two, sanctification. I'm on point three now. If you can't handle the appetite and the allurement, the only way you deal with that, Carl Hill, is to go back to verse 2 and get a concept of the will of God in sanctification, that you are set apart for a purpose to serve God. Now, when you get that settled, then, hey, I'm going to do something for God. Is everybody with me tonight? I have figured out that I can live for God. I can be a vessel that God can use, just like Noah, just like Mary, just like Elizabeth, just like Simeon. Amen. I can be a vessel like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I can be a vessel that God can use. I can be a body that God can infill and separate, amen, and sanctify and glorify his name. I can make a difference in this world. I can be a Daniel. I can be a Hananiah. I can be a Nehemiah. I can serve. You're not going to ever deal with this separation thing till you get that settled. That sanctification thing is going to have to be understood so that you know how to possess your vessel. Amen. When you know how to possess your vessel, amen, it's a result of knowing why you need to possess your vessel. Okay? I'm about done. Your appetite, your allurement, and then there's the voiding. There's things you got to avoid. Just don't get around it. I mean, I've seen my boy here the other day. We was going down the road and or somewhere, I don't even remember where we was at, and there was a little situation there with a girl, and she was improperly dressed and very vulgar dressing, very revealing, and he turned his head. I was proud of him. Now, I wasn't proud of him because he didn't shave the other day, man, but I was proud that he turned his head. Man, I wished he'd have turned his head in the mirror and shaved, but he didn't. Amen. There ain't no sense in corrupting your mind. There ain't no sense in corrupting your mind with worldly flesh and then trying to find you a godly girl out of this church to fulfill those carnal desires you've stimulated. It ain't going to ever happen. It ain't going to ever happen. Am I telling it right or not? Some things you got to avoid. You got to learn to turn your head, guys. Guys. Fellers. You got to learn to walk in the other direction. I've stood there and somebody start talking about something that I knew they had no business talking about. You know what I've done? I didn't jump on them. I didn't make a scene. I just gradually just moved on down the road. Just walked on, left them to themselves. Now, there have been times I've said something when I had liberty. We was throwing hay out of a barn one time, and a guy cussed about twice, and Travis was a little bitty boy, and I stopped throwing that square hay, and here's what I told him. I said, hey. He looked at me. I'm buying hay from him, and he's a grown man, and I wasn't trying to be mean, but I could have got mean if he wanted to be, but I wasn't trying to be mean. I said, now, you've said things that boy right there has never heard said in his life. He said, man, I'm sorry. He never said nothing else. I said, but you said things that boy never has heard. Yes. Amen. Amen. There's some things you confront, some things you're going to have to learn to avoid. Amen. Some of you are going to have to learn to turn and walk the other direction. Walk away from it. You understand that? If you're at school, everybody in this school, all the boys in this school ain't full of the Holy Ghost and living for Jesus. Do you think I'm that dumb? I mean, you can play the rule game on the vision papers and grades and wait, but that spiritual game you don't play with me. Everybody in this church don't love God and don't agree with what I'm preaching right now. There's some of you sitting there bobbing your head, but in your heart you said, I wish he'd get through and shut up. I'm tired of listening to it. And I'm just trying to wait long enough for you to just explode and leave. Separation deals with appetites. You boys have appetites. You got to understand that God has given a divine way to fulfill those desires that are fulfilling for you and that are holy and godly. You go outside those boundaries, you're going to suffer in the flesh all the days of your life. You'll never get over it. You'll never live enough. You'll never plead the blood enough. You'll never ask God to forgive you enough. If you get involved in fornication and sensual sins, they will be in your mind the rest of your life. Amen. Now, I didn't say you can't get forgiveness. I'm just saying they're going to be in your mind. You've sinned against your body. Avoiding. Some of you need some stickability, guts, backbone, whatever it is that you want to call it. And you need to be able, if you're sitting at McDonald's, and y'all do sit at McDonald's, by the way, I don't ever go up there, but y'all do sit at McDonald's. Amen? And Willie, if one of them says something, girl or boy, that's the wrong direction, and walk out. I don't want to be around it. You know what they're going to say? Well, who's he think he is? Mr. Spiritual, holy man, where does he think he come from? Man, I know how he is. I know the way he acts. And that's where you're at with it. We got a bunch of cowards in this day. Hey, man, I wouldn't give you a used dip of snuff. They can't hold up a good hat. They have no backbone. They can't avoid sin. They can't get up and say, hey, boys, this ain't right. What y'all are watching, amen, on that computer, what y'all are watching, amen, is ungodly and wicked and perverted, and I'm not going to be a part of it. Is anybody listening to me? Amen. There's some things you got to avoid. There's things you got to abstain from. And he deals with sensual sins. He's talking about fornication. That ye should abstain from fornication. Does that scare anybody? It shouldn't. Because every bit of your entertainment surrounds that one subject, adultery and fornication. I don't know why everybody wants to get embarrassed when something's said about it in church. Because you don't mind them talking about it all day long in your living room. The books you read, the things you let your eyes see, the things you allow yourselves to be involved with are unholy and ungodly, and it's wrecked America.
Amen.
It's wrecked America. The politicians that run this country are whoremongers. And they have been for years. I tell you what I dare you to do. Do you some research and find out what the most prescribed drug is in Washington to the legislators, the representatives, and the congressmen. Do you a little research. It's not hard to figure out. And we wonder why there is an awesome cloud of oppression in this country, and our young people are fighting battles like we've never seen before. So, well, I just don't know if I believe that or not. It don't make much difference to me whether you believe it or not. It's the truth. We have people, Brother Grubbs, we got people that just can't out, flat out say, no. I'm not going down that road. I am not doing that. I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm your friend, and I love you, but I'm not going to be a partaker of what you're doing. Call me if you want to get right with God. Your flesh problems, friend problems, finance problems, that being able to say no, it'll take care of your fork troubles. Fork. F-O-R-K. I'm telling you, being able to say no will take care of a lot of your troubles.
Amen.
And I want it cleaned up. I want it raised up. You say, well, who are you? I'm the pastor of this church. So what's that mean? That means I want it cleaned up. I want it raised up. I want it brought down. So what's that mean? It means exactly what I just said. Well, I'll find some other place to go. If you need some gas money, you let us know. We'll try to help you. We may have a little money in missions, and I ain't playing. Because we're going to serve the Lord, have the power of God as best we can, and we're not going to be a part of this untoward generation.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to be sanctified. I want to be separated, but I want to be sanctified in that separation. I want to know why I am avoiding and abstaining from things, and that reality revolves around my life for the glory of God. Some of you need to sit still long enough and evaluate the things that you are letting yourself get involved with and the people you're letting yourself get involved with and how that's going to affect you in serving God, and find out how important that is to you. Now, if it doesn't mean anything to you, I can't help you. But I'm going to tell you what, I wished 1,000 times over again, Miss Valerie, that I could go back in my life and be sitting where that young man is sitting with the potential that he has. I tell you what, I would give every dime that I could ever get my hands on to be sitting where that young man right there is sitting. And that's a fact. With a heart for God, with a desire to serve, to see something done in the church, amen, to be a part of the work of God, I'd give everything I own and everything that everybody else own if I could get it to be in that man sitting where that young man right there is sitting. And he's my son, but I'm not, but I'm just telling you, to sit where he's sitting. Brother Tarvin, I'd give everything I got. You listening to me? To understand that God could take that little old boy standing up on that chair a while ago leading us singing. You listening to me? I'm going to tell you something that's overwhelming. But all it takes is an appetite, an allurement, and a giving in to destroy all the potential that you saw in those two little boys a while ago. And I have every intention with every fiber of my being, son, to fight it and slap it and kick it and gnaw it till the day I die. And I don't think, and some of you want to fight, listen to me now, some of you want to fight against it. Some of you want to buck it. Some of you want to put me on trial. And I'm going to tell you something now. I'm intent and content, and I plan to stay. I'm not trying to be boastful, and I'm not trying to be motivating. I'm not trying to pump myself up, amen. I'm not trying to run up the stairs like Rocky does or whatever. I'm just telling you, amen, I have no intentions of changing. Amen. I may not take you across the river, but when these boys come up, amen, I'll wait on them. God will give me enough strength, amen, I'll wait on them. Amen. Well, preacher, we'll just quit tithing and starve you out. No, what you'll do is you'll quit tithing and God will kill you. Amen. I've heard them say that. Well, we'll just quit tithing and you won't get paid. Well, I mean, you quit tithing, God's going to judge you. You got a curse on you. Amen. Your children end up in hell. Amen. Your wife will run off and leave you. You're going to have a curse. You say, you're threatening. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. You'll be cursed with a curse. Amen. And God will send the ravens to feed me if he has to. Amen. So let's clean it up. Serve the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel. I'm going to meet next week. And if Will hadn't lied to me, he said he's going to go with me. And I'm praying. I got other men praying. I had one man tell me, a preacher friend of mine, said I'll fast a day and pray for him, that he'll get right with God, get some help. And I want him to. But if he don't, I'm going to deal with it. And it's going to put some of you young people in a position where you're going to have to withdraw. Amen. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you the worst thing that's happened to some of these young people that we've dealt with in the way of discipline is people trying to pat them on the back and maintain a relationship with them. And so they just think, well, it ain't no big deal. They just took my name off the church roll. But it is a big deal. If you don't think it's a big deal, you might want to slip up around them and see where they're at and what they're involved in and how deep they've went into sin. That Bible says that you turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, you may not think that's significant or means anything, but whatsoever this church binds on earth, God said is bound in heaven. And if this church is right and trying to do right and trying to reach out and trying to see people get right with God, and those that mar its testimony and reproach its name, and God has to deal with them, God will deal with them. Are you listening? New Testament Christianity and the prodigal son story may not go all hand in hand when it comes to church. They might have some good preaching there and some good principles, but you better not mistake that story. Amen. Get outside the nation of Israel's concept in that story. This church has a responsibility. And I promise you this, I'll do everything I can to see you serve God successfully. I'll mortgage my house to buy you something to play for Jesus if I have to. But you young ladies better listen to me. Now, I'm responsible for that young lady just like she's my daughter. Her daddy has put me in her watch care. Or put her in my watch care. Amen. That's serious to me. And if I find out that one of you young men or somebody has tried to say something out of the way, you in deep trouble. I'm talking about deep trouble. Is that understood? Now, her daddy would come up here and thrash a Dickens out of you, but he probably won't ever get a chance. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you she is acting in my home, and I treat her just like I would treat my daughter right back there. If she's improperly dressed, I would tell her, I'd say, you need to deal with this, just like I'm telling her things she needs to deal with. And the bad part about some of you don't have the guts and the gall to run your home that way. That's why your children are in the shape they're in. You're a control freak. No, I'm not a freak. I'm not a freak. I'm just in control. Possessing my vessel in sanctification and honor. That's control. That's getting a hold of something. Amen? Amen. Does everybody understand where I'm at? Brother Crawford, if your daughter was staying at my house, I feel totally responsible for her. And I promise you my rules would probably be far beyond yours and her and your wife's. As far as the severity of anything that would happen if I knew about it. And things happen you don't know about. I understand that. But it's serving God. I don't want to see. And my point is I do not, and I'm not rambling. But my point is, I do not want to see that young man's life marred in any way, shape, or form that would keep him from being able to do his best for Jesus, nor that young lady. Miss Autumn, I want to see you serve God. I want to see you girls serve the Lord more than anything else, and I don't want to see anything happen that would keep you from doing your best for Jesus. That's all I'm interested in. You can take my name off the sign. Don't even tell anybody I'm pastoring the church. I'm not looking for any accolades. All I'm interested in is that young man right there living for God. Amen. And it's the will of God is for you to be sanctified. I preach, I'd like to know the will of God for my life, all right? Then you need to raise some things up, let some things down, loosen some things up. That's the will of God, sanctification, personal sanctification. Separation, you need to avoid some things, you need to abstain from things, you need to understand that you have an appetite, and you need to fully understand that the devil has allurements for you, and you're going to have to learn to say no, turn, and go the other direction. Amen? And if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to understand that.